Thank you. Rudy Gobert is going to be sending his one to the Utah Jazz saying, thanks for the memories and thanks for getting me out of there as you're about to hit the reset button. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells sitting in for the guys on this Friday afternoon. Let's break the big news down with Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter. Dave, a couple minutes ago, Woj reported that Rudy Gobert, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, is leaving the Utah Jazz, headed to the Minnesota Timberwolves. A whole bunch of players in the mix here in a trade from Minnesota to Utah in exchange for Rudy Gobert. But as you look at this Timberwolves team, we knew they wanted to go big in free agency, didn't know how they were going to make it happen with their cap situation and roster flexibility, but boy, did they certainly fulfill that promise. Your reaction?
Oh, Courtney, it's huge. And we thought we were full of NBA news yesterday, but the smorgasbord continues. And listen, this Wolves team, they gave the Grizzlies a tough, tough series. And I know they weren't a top four seed or anything like that last year in the West, but you got to love the aggressive mentality from Wolves GM, their new GM, Tim Connelly, saying, like, you know, maybe traditionally you wouldn't look at our group and say they're on the verge of contending. Let's try to throw the window open right now. Go for broke in this short period of time. We got an all-NBAer in Carl Anthony Towns, who we just locked up on a long-term deal, an up-and-coming a guy who people around the league think could be an MVP someday in Anthony Edwards. You know, some key vets, you know, guys like Patrick Beverley. Now you add a, you know, multi-time Defensive Player of the Year. I love the aggressive mentality. I don't know if this is a great long-term play, but in the short term, you're going to start talking about the Wolves on that list of seven or eight teams in the league that you could potentially see making the conference finals or the finals next year.
Hey, Dave, you cover the L.A. Lakers. What do you think is going through Rob Pelinka's head right now as he sees what Minnesota just did? Kevin Durant, you know, potentially rumored to go to Phoenix. Golden State gets Looney back locked up again. The Joker's locked up in Denver. Devin Booker gets his money, and LeBron James and company are just sitting there. What do you think is going through Rob Pelinka's head as he's watching all these moves going on in the first 24 hours of free agency?
Mike, what Rob Pelinka is thinking about right now is what I could do to get Kyrie Irving in the Los Angeles Lakers uniform for next year. And the Lakers don't have a tremendous amount of young assets they can include in a deal like that. The first round picks that they are able to swap aren't even available until 2027 and 2029, because they gave up so many to get Anthony Davis a couple years ago. At the same time, though, listen, if you're Brooklyn, you could potentially get a pick or two. You could get a young guard in Talen Horton-Tucker, who has had some flashes of brilliance in his short career so far. You can get a guy in Russell Westbrook, who clearly has shown some signs of atrophy where his career is right now, but if you just need an inning eater for next year and it's an expiring contract, you could do worse than Russell Westbrook. And, you know, as you start to see whatever deals that could have materialized around the league, like, because of the way Kyrie Irving has managed his career the last couple of years, it's not like he is some shining asset that teams are going to be lining up to acquire. Also, you'll have the idea, if Kyrie Irving's already putting the signals out to everyone that he wants to be with the Los Angeles Lakers, if you're another team, even if you are tantalized by his talent, are you really going to go and trade anything of value to get him, thinking that he doesn't want to be there? And so there's certainly a pathway to see Kyrie Irving reunited with LeBron James this time in LA. And that is where Rob Pelinka's mind is at right now.
We're talking with Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter, on Canty and Carlin. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells sitting in for the guys. On the note of Kyrie Irving, we know that the Lakers were the only team earlier this week that seemed even remotely interested, that they were on Kyrie Irving's list of six potential suitors and being able to pull that off and make that happen. As it stands today, you know, fast forwarding all the time past him opting into his player option. How do the Lakers pull this off to get Kyrie Irving, and what, you know, what would they exchange for him? Because, like you had mentioned, at this point, we know that he's kind of got no leverage because he had mentioned that that's where he wants to go. Is there much value for the Brooklyn Nets in trading him to L.A.?
Well, you start with Russell Westbrook because, one, you can't have both those guys on the same team. You know, they both need the ball in their hands a fair amount, as does LeBron, and so you can't have three of them. LeBron's staying, obviously, and you bring Kyrie in. That's where you start, and that's a salary match situation also. You know, Russell making 47, Kyrie making 37. To convince Josiah and Sean Marks and the Nets group to want to take on more salary when it looks to be somewhat of a rebuilding situation for them, you're going to have to sweeten the deal. And so that's where the draft picks come in. But as I mentioned, the draft picks aren't able to be passed over until 5 years from now because of the other deals the Lakers have done in the last several seasons. And then really, you know, I mentioned the one young asset that they could include is Talen Horton-Tucker. I suppose the other guy that they have who, you know, some teams certainly would see some upside to would be Austin Reeves. The Lakers have no interest in parting with Austin Reeves. They think they found a gem last year, having him come undrafted and really have some really nice moments for them. But, you know, it's going to come down to some combination of those assets I mentioned and then the Lakers crossing their fingers and hoping that the rest of the teams around the league think, like, you know what, that's too much for us to deal with, especially if Kyrie's made it clear he doesn't want to be here, and hope that their offer ends up looking better just because the other offers don't materialize around the rest of the NBA.
So what happens if the Lakers are not able to land Kyrie? Because it sounds like it's not it won't be an easy situation, easy trade to pull off, especially with the lack of first-round draft picks immediately available to go to Brooklyn. If they don't get Kyrie, how do they get better? I mean, do you see any other players fitting in that could help them get back to the playoffs, especially with LeBron James, you know, turning 38 years old later on this year?
Well, Mike, they got to get some shooting, and that team you used to cover, the Indiana Pacers, have already started wheeling and dealing, and they parted ways with Malcolm Brogdon to Boston. And there's another guy on that roster who can really shoot it and has some deep ties to Rob Pelinka, that being Buddy Hield. Rob Pelinka used to be his agent before he moved over into a NBA executive role. And Buddy's someone who the Lakers nearly acquired last year on draft day until the Russell Westbrook deal came out of nowhere. And so, you know, that is the type of player that they would target. And again, when we're talking about what they have available to trade, it's that same asset that we're mentioning. It's those draft picks that don't convey until a half decade from now. and it's Talen Horton-Tucker and Austin Reeves. Now, you know, you say on their face, Talen Horton-Tucker, Buddy Hield, who's a better player? Buddy Hield, sure. But if the Indiana Pacers timeline is rebuilding around Tyrese Halliburton and you may not be sniffing a playoff for 2 or 3 years down the line, well, 2 or 3 years down the line, Buddy Hield is best days are past him. And so there could be some value in that type of offer that you make to Buddy Hield. And the other guy you could look to is Eric Gordon in Houston. Houston's clearly in a rebuild. If Eric Gordon lets it be known that he doesn't want to use the twilight of his career to be playing on teams that go 20-62, that's another guy you can target. And again, you give Houston some young players that would fit their timeline as well. And then, you know, Brooklyn's got a couple other shooters. If they can't get Kyrie, well, guess what? There's also Seth Curry and Joe Harris there. And, you know, the Lakers right now do not have any shooting on their roster. Like none. So that is the huge void, and they have 13 players locked in. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be hard to get a player on a veteran minimum contract that brings shooting and also has enough defense where he can stay on the floor. Like, you know, Wayne Ellington last year, he's an excellent shooter, but he was such a one-sided player. He didn't have the defense to be able to stay on the floor. They recognize that they can't go that route. They need to find shooting in guys who can play two ways. That's going to be their priority. The number one they love is Kyrie Irving, who's a 50-40-90 guy. But if they can't get Kyrie, you know, you're going to look for them trading players or perhaps getting rid of one of those picks down the line to get some shooting, because otherwise the spacing just won't work with this team. You need LeBron to be surrounded by shooters to maximize what he does.
Amazing the difference that a year makes. Last year at this time, the Lakers were focused on trying to get some aging all-stars a part of this roster. This year, they opened up free agency with a flurry of moves. They tried to get younger, more athletic, and more defensive-minded, as Dave just said. He is Dave McMenamin. He covers the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA for ESPN, and joined Courtney Cronin and Mike Wells here on Canty and Carlin. Dave, thanks so much for keeping us updated on the recent happenings in free agency. I'm sure there will be no shortage of news over the next couple of days that we'll tap in with you about at a later date. Thanks so much.
You got to love talking to you NFL folks about the NBA. We'll have to reverse roles someday.
I mean, you are more than welcome to come help us break it all down during NFL free agency, where record deals are handed out and make all of our heads explode at the same time. But there is no shortage of news here with NBA free agency as it continues to wager on as we try to figure out where Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are headed next. And coming up next, does the KD Kyrie breakup in Brooklyn officially signify the end of the super team in the NBA? Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, in for Canty and Carlin here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Years ago today, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving teamed up and announced that they were joining the Brooklyn Nets to form their own super team after the two players won championships with the Cavs and the Warriors respectively, and then decided that they were still searching for something else. They still had something left to be fulfilled, so they went and joined forces to do that together. They were not able to deliver on a title with the Brooklyn Nets, but they did form a super team of their own. We have to ask ourselves now, is the super team era over with Kevin Durant requesting a trade away from the Brooklyn Nets, and it feels like Kyrie Irving will be traded away in the not-too-distant future as well. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So do you feel like the super team era is officially over now that Kevin Durant wants out and this whole thing's going to crumble before we know it?
You know, I'm not sold that it's officially over, because let's just think about this. If Phoenix is able to acquire Kevin without having to give up DeAndre Ayton, then you have a powerful threesome right there in Devin Booker, KD, and Ayton. But I think the whole, you know, let's go team up purposely through free agency, I think is going to be harder to come by, you know, as years go on. You know, LeBron, I mean, actually the first big three, in my opinion, was done through a trade with Danny Ainge when he was in Boston, sure, when he brought Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett to team up with Paul Pierce. And then you had the free agency of LeBron, Bosch, and D-Wade down in Miami. It's going to be fewer, you know, going forward on how many guys are trying to team up in that aspect, because you know, you do need multiple players to be able to win a championship. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. I mean, shoot, Michael Jordan needed Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman to help him out win some titles. But I just think the whole free agency of, okay, let's go recruit these players, it's not going to happen as much.
Yeah. So what constitutes as a super team? We've talked about it, the super team era. As Mike mentioned, it started long before LeBron James teamed up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade in Miami, and then Kevin Durant went to a team that was already great with a lot of homegrown players in the Golden State Warriors and created an even greater team out there and won two titles because of it. But what constitutes as a super team, and how will super teams work? Here's ESPN front office insider Bobby Marks explaining the super team phenomena on Bart and Hahn.
I think you can do a super team as long as you have somebody that you've drafted, you've developed, and has been part of your fabric and your culture. Whether it be Dwayne Wade in Miami when LeBron and Chris Bosh got there in 2010, whether it be Paul Pierce in Boston when Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen got there. I think that's the only way that works for doing a super team, putting three guys with three different personalities and three different agendas is not going to work. I don't care who the coach is going to be.
There's a lot of truth to that, because when you have three, and it's, you know, three is kind of the arbitrary number, but I mean, it could be three, it could be four, it could be beyond that. But when you have players who have their own ideas of what the team should be doing and the direction the team should be headed, and not guys who were brought in necessarily together, you can understand why this thing fell apart. Now, I think Brooklyn is the extreme example here because of Kyrie Irving and everything that happened with him last year and his decision to not be a team-first player. And then Kevin Durant trying to be like, well, I understand everything else is going on around me right now. I just want to hoop. And then Ben Simmons, who hasn't even played a game for them, they trade for him. So they tried to force this thing through and form a super team that – really, if you would have told me on paper that would have made sense, I would have asked you, how does this equate? Because it just doesn't seem to compute, even in like the most literal, in most like figurative sense, let alone the literal sense, it clearly never did. So I can understand the argument. And to his point, you have to have at least one player that was drafted and developed by the team. The reason the Golden State Warriors have been able to sustain this super team era where they had Kevin Durant for a while, won two titles with him, and then won one this year without him, is because Klay, Draymond, and Steph were all drafted and developed by the Golden State Warriors. So to Bobby's logic, that's the reason that one makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, potentially you could have a quote-unquote super team in Boston. If the Celtics are able to get over the top, I mean, you think about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, guys that were selected by the Celtics front office, by Danny Ainge. But, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets were the furthest thing from a homegrown super team. I mean, all three of those players, I'm going to say four because I'm throwing Ben Simmons in the mix now. None of them were selected by the Brooklyn Nets. Go back several years ago when Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Deron Williams all went to the Brooklyn Nets. It didn't work out. They didn't have that same home ground talent. So Bobby Marks made an incredible, you know, a very, very good observation on, if you don't have a guy who's in that culture, who's been there, it's going to be hard to get everybody to mesh together because nobody can lead the way who's been in that organization for some time.
Yeah, I mean, like the most homegrown for the Brooklyn Nets, well, I guess would have been Joe Harris, and he wasn't even homegrown. He just had most, like, longest tenured. He had been there since 2016, but you think about the rest of their starting lineup this year in the postseason. Obviously, Durant, not a homegrown player. Kyrie Irving, not a homegrown player. Seth Curry, they got him in the trade for sending James Harden to the Philadelphia 76ers. But even the big three that they had formed previously before Harden went to Philadelphia, they got him from the Houston Rockets. So, yeah, it doesn't make a whole ton of sense in the logic of trying to fit pieces of the puzzle together that probably were never meant to click in all the grooves together. I mean, it makes sense from a lot of different angles when you look at it this way, knowing it's hard when you're trying to take great players from other franchises and expecting that everybody be on the same page, everybody have the same agenda, and everybody be willing to make the same sort of sacrifices it would take to achieve a dream that, you know, this is the reason that championship teams are not built overnight. It takes time. It takes drafting and developing. It takes strategic and smart free agent moves, not just moves that kind of signal a knee-jerk and win now reaction. Kenny and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. Straight ahead, what does the Rudy Gobert trade mean for Donovan Mitchell's future in Utah? We discuss next here on Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN App.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalen Brunson is a New York Knick after reportedly declining the Dallas Mavericks' last-ditch attempt to try to sign him to a four-year, $55.5 million contract extension offer after the trade deadline, and his patience was well rewarded with nearly $50 million more in total salary. He gets to team up with his father, Rick Brunson, who is on the bench, and he gets to have a fresh start after a very good playoff performance with the Dallas Mavericks, now taking his talents to the New York Knicks. This is Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN App. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, sitting in for the guys on this Friday afternoon. Let's talk a little bit more Knicks now with Tommy Beer, author of the What's on Tap Substack newsletter. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Beer, exactly how it sounds. So, explain to me a little bit more about this big three that we should be excited to watch with the New York Knicks that includes RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson, so a very young backcourt, but Julius Randle in the mix here. How does this all make sense for the New York Knicks and what their goals are going forward this season?
Yeah, I think that's the key part, is kind of where does this put the Knicks? Obviously, you know, first and foremost, let's acknowledge that Jalen Brunson is a massive upgrade over what the Knicks had last year with the shell of Kemba Walker. Clearly had lost a significant amount of his athleticism and quickness after the knee injury. This is the same Knicks team that started Alec Burks for the final 22 games of the season at point guard. Yes, that's 30-year-old shooting guard Alex Burks at point guard. So make no mistake, Jalen Brunson coming off a phenomenal postseason run in Dallas is a massive upgrade at point guard for the Knicks. So a roundabout way to answer your question is the Knicks are better. The question obviously remains, are they good enough to kind of escape that middle of the pack? Are they an 8 seed? Are they a 6 seed? Are they a 10 seed? With the defensive deficiencies, you know, going into the season, it looks like they're probably starting a backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Evan Fournier. And you factor that in with the kind of the offensive talents, albeit inefficient, of RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. It's hard to envision the Knicks climbing into that, you know, those top 4 seeds out east. But yes, as you note, a lot of it depends on Julius Randle. Do we get the Julius Randle that was All-NBA in 2021, or do we get the other Julius, thumbs-down Randle, who took a big step backwards last season?
With the addition of Brunson, obviously it is a big piece. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching Brunson and R.J. Barrett play together. What other pieces do the Knicks need to get, you know, to take that leap to, you know, try to get into at least – the middle of the pack of the Eastern Conference?
Sure. Leon Rose has made no, you know, he's kind of let it be known that he's big star hunting. That's what he came. I'm sure that's what he told the Knicks owner, James Dolan, when he was hired, that based on my connections, and obviously we know that he has a strong connection with Jalen Brunson, maybe, you know, is one of the reasons why Brunson is a New York Knick right now. But they have bigger fish. You know, they're targeting one of the stars of the league. And, you know, within the last hour or so, we know that Rudy Gobert was traded from Utah to Minnesota for a bevy of first-round picks. It sounds like 4 first-rounders, 3 of them unprotected, which is a great haul for Utah. So obviously the next question is Donovan Mitchell the next superstar on the open market? There is definitely some connective tissue between Donovan Mitchell and New York. Kid that was born in Westchester. His dad is an employee of the New York Mets. He's a huge Mets fan. He's been to a few games, took batting practice at Citi Field, I think it was 2 weeks ago. So there's definitely some connection between the Donovan Mitchell and the Knicks. There's going to be smoke. So now we'll see if there's fire. For what it's worth, Adrian Wojnarowski has come out and said that Utah's plan as of this moment is to build around Donovan Mitchell. Tony Jones of The Athletic, who's plugged in out in Utah as well, has reiterated a similar comment. So it certainly sounds like Danny Ainge and the Utah front office is planning on building around Mitchell going forward. The question, of course, is, does Donovan Mitchell share those same plans? Is he content to go through a rebuild? Now, Utah's going to tell you it's a retooling, which means potentially they're going to flip some of those assets for some young players. Is that a sign and trade with DeAndre Ayton, in Phoenix? We'll see. But that's kind of, as far as I see it, I don't see Mitchell at all being content to start a full-scale rebuild. I'm sure maybe he gives the Utah, front office some time to kind of reestablish, get some established veterans and quality players on the roster. But we'll kind of see how that plays out over the next days, hours, weeks, et cetera.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Tommy. We're talking with Tommy Beer. He covers the New York Knicks for his Substack. It's called What's on Tap. It's a Substack newsletter. You can follow him at Tommy Beer on Twitter. And to that note, I laugh about that because I can't see Donovan Mitchell right now signing up to be part of a long-term rebuild, and that feels like where this whole thing is trending with the Utah Jazz. As we know, it would take a lot to probably get him to New York, and the Knicks own the rights to 9 first-round draft picks over the next 5 seasons. The only other team that has more than them would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. Make the case for the Knicks trading a lot of this draft capital away in order to get someone like Donovan Mitchell, and just where that would put them. Because it feels like to me, Jalen Brunson is not enough for this team just yet. They committed a lot of money to him for over the next 4 years. That's great. But in order for this team to get out of mediocrity and where they're at right now, they need to do more than just that, more than just throwing money other places too, like Mitchell Robinson and the extension that we've been talking about there. How does Donovan Mitchell make them a better player if they do indeed trade for him?
It's a great question, Courtney, and that's what the Knicks are going to have to ask themselves. What is the price point at which they're willing to walk away? Because if the Jazz can get 4 first round picks, 3 of them unprotected from Minnesota for Rudy Gobert, who's about to turn 30, and obviously still a tremendous player. But Donovan Mitchell's 25, signed, locked up for another 4 years. So they're every team in the league, Miami, Pat Riley's going to place a call. There's already some rumors that the Heat are interested and that Mitchell is interested in Miami as well. And then you kind of look at the fit, a backcourt of Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. How effective is that defensively? We've seen, with the two teams that led the NBA in defensive efficiency last year were the Warriors and the Celtics. And that kind of tells you a little bit, about the importance of building a team to stout defensively going forward. That being said, again, Leon Rose came to New York to bring a star. Donovan Mitchell, make no mistake, 3-time All-Star, all before the age of 25, prior to his struggles in the postseason this year, was one of the, had averaged, I believe it was over 33 points per game in his first 20 postseason games. The guy can put the ball in the basket. The only question is, for the Knicks, you really only have, as you mentioned, they have 9 first round picks. They own the rights to 9 first round picks over the next 5 years, 11 first round picks over the next 7 years. The issue is you only get to push all those chips to the middle of the table once. You kind of only get one crack at a superstar. So if you're trading 3 first round picks and RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, or, 4 first rounders and Obi Toppin, whatever the case might be. And if you need to be sure that is a guy that's going to make you a championship contender. I'm not convinced that Donovan Mitchell is that guy. So for the Knicks, it becomes a bargaining game. Where can you move enough asset allocation where you're content with what you have remaining and still bring Donovan Mitchell back? And then you go up against what are other teams willing to offer? The Heat, multiple draft picks, Tyler Hero, et cetera. It'll be fascinating to see how this all plays out.
The Knicks land their big fish free agent in Jalen Brunson. They re-sign Mitchell Robinson today on a $60 million deal, and they might not be done yet. All eyes will be on the Knicks and whether they are able to land a player like Donovan Mitchell via trade, as it looks like the Utah Jazz are headed towards a rebuild. He is Tommy Beer, author of the What's on Tap Substack newsletter covering all things Knicks. Tommy, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, guys.
You as well. Coming up next, the Pacers have traded Malcolm Brogdon to the Celtics. We react, Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. Celtics were looking for a true playmaking point guard, and it appears that they have that. The Indiana Pacers traded guard Malcolm Brogdon to the Boston Celtics, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, sitting in for Canty and Carlin here on ESPN Radio. Mike, I know you covered the Pacers for a long time. What is your reaction to Malcolm Brogdon finding a new home to a team that did not have to give up any of its core players in order to pull this trade off?
Well, that tells you how bad the Pacers wanted to move on from Malcolm Brogdon. You know, Brogdon signed, you know, prior to several years ago in free agency. He came to Indiana, you know, prior to the 2019-2020 season after being in Milwaukee to start his career. And he was supposed to bring stability to the point guard spot. And that was not the case. I mean, Brogdon is very talented. The issue with him is he was always injured. Played just 36 games last season for the Pacers, 56 the year before, 54, obviously in the year, the season, the COVID-shortened season. He's got health issues. That's the problem. If you can't depend on him, and the Pacers, they are a team that's in a real rebuilding mode right now. They couldn't rely on him to be there. And, you know, just talking to people, you know, I still have ties inside the Pacers organization. Malcolm Brogdon was not easy to deal with. So it'll be curious on how he fits in playing alongside Marcus Smart, who has a very strong personality, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. The best thing that happens out of this trade for Boston is that Marcus Smart does not have to be the point guard. Brogdon will be that true point guard to able to get the offense going and get the ball to the star players in the right position as long as he can stay healthy. And that's going to be the key with Brogdon as long as he's in the NBA. Can he stay healthy and be as good of a player as potentially? I mean, he averaged 19 points last season, 21 points a year prior. It's just a matter of why can't he stay healthy? Every small injury kind of snowball, it's a snowball, and he misses way too much time. And that kind of, you know, frustrated the Pacers after a while.
The good thing about this for the Boston Celtics is that Brogdon's contract, the one that he's currently on, is expiring. So if this doesn't work out, they can part ways prior to the trade deadline, no harm, no foul. But it's a high reward, relatively low risk move for the Boston Celtics, as Mike had mentioned. Now Marcus Smart gets to go be the type of player we know he can be when he doesn't have those same sort of responsibilities on him that he was tasked with in facilitating for Jalen Brunson and Jason Tatum during the NBA Finals. This is a team that's trying to run it back. It believes that it has the roster that is good enough to do that, and then they get a nice rotational piece in the mix in Malcolm Brogdon in exchange for literally pennies on the dollar here. Courtney Cronin, Mike Wells, sitting in for Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Should the New Orleans Pelicans give Zion Williamson a max contract? It is projected to be worth $231 million, and we've talked about this for a long time, whether Zion Williamson is deserving of that, whether it is the right move for the New Orleans Pelicans, Mike. And this supermax is critical at this point for a Pelicans team that made the playoffs last year, was in the play-in tournament, and obviously now, with the way that the roster is constructed, they're in a good spot to, if you're in the West, in thinking that you can contend. But do you think that this is the wisest move for the New Orleans Pelicans as they consider whether Zion is worth all of that money because of the health issues?
I'm thinking, if I am the general manager of the Pelicans right now, talent-wise, it's no question.
Yeah.
That Zion is worth every penny. There's a reason why the Pelicans took him over Ja Morant as the number one overall pick in 2019. 22.5 points in his rookie season, 27 in the 2020-21 season. But the issue with Zion is his health, his weight. Can you rely on him? This is not the NFL, a sport that you and I both cover, where teams are able to give, you know, a certain amount of guaranteed money and then cut ties if a player is not living up to expectations. This money is completely guaranteed. And if I'm the Pelicans, I'm rolling the dice saying, okay, Zion, you know what? We need you to prove that you can stay healthy, and we will offer you the contract. Of course, Zion could say, well, you didn't give me the extension when the opportunity was there, so why should I re-sign? I'm going to roll that dice and just hope that Zion is going to trust us and understand why we say we can't give you that max contract yet until you prove that you can stay healthy and you can be that player that you need to dominate on the court to be.
But as we know in sports, everything is based on a projection. No one earns anything and then gets paid, right? Like, it's all based on, well, you're another worldly talent. We expect that your ceiling is here, and you're a little bit below it. You'll probably get to it in an X number of years. That's how it works in sports, where we project everything out and what someone's value has the potential to be. It's so rare that you see a player like Zion Williamson at the stage of his career where now he's four seasons in to his NBA career and he's missed a lot of time, missed the entire season last year because of injury and has been in and out of the lineup before that due to injury, conditioning issues, what have you. They see what the ceiling is here. And they also see that if they don't give him what he believes he and the rest of the league believes that he is owed, which is that 5-year rookie max contract that's going to pay him up to $231 million, keeping him under contract through the 27-28 season. If they don't do that, somebody else will. I feel like that's what we run ourselves into a circle with here in the sports world, realizing that if one team doesn't see your potential, another team probably will and will be willing to pony up the assets that it takes to land the former first overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft. As Mike mentioned, the numbers when he plays, they're good. 25.7 points, 7 rebounds per game across his 3-year NBA career. There's still a lot of meat left on the bone with Zion Williamson, a lot to be desired here. But if he can stay healthy and he can play a full season, which he has not done to this point of his career for the New Orleans Pelicans, I think that you have a legitimate threat here in the Western Conference that can contend with the likes, not just, you know, of a team that's chasing the Golden State Warriors, but with Memphis, but with Dallas, maybe even a Utah. Like, there's a lot of potential for this New Orleans Pelicans team if you keep Zion Williamson in the fold and you keep him healthy.
Man, yes. I mean, think about it. You're teaming him up with Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum. I mean, that's a nice little foundation down there.
It is.
And that is an incredible foundation where Zion is clearly the focal point in the paint, and you got perimeter players that can get you buckets. And not only buckets, but you have a leader in CJ McCollum who has been there and been around and knows what it takes to win. I hope it works out for Zion because I love watching him play above the rim.
Yeah, I do too. Shams Charania of The Athletic reporting Friday morning that the injury-riddled big man for the New Orleans Pelicans is about to get paid. Zion Williamson expected to agree to a 5-year rookie max contract extension with the Pelicans that'll pay him up to $231 million, keeping him under contract for the next 5 years.